The fourth attempt to build a common authentication platform between government and its citizens already is starting on shaky ground. The General Services Administration's 18F organization is defending from industry criticism its solicitation for identity proofing and fraud detection. In his weekly feature, Inside the Reporter's Notebook, executive editor Jason Miller writes about 18F's challenges with developing the login.gov portal. And Jason joins me now to elaborate. Hi there, Jason.
Hey, Jared.
So what exactly is 18F trying to buy from vendors, and what's the criticism of this RFQ that was just out?
Well, we know that login.gov first announced back in May was another attempt to create this kind of portal where you as a citizen could go in and say, hey, where are my taxes? How much do I get from Social Security? How do I see if I'm qualified for veterans benefits? Or what kind of benefits can I apply for? And do that all very securely, online transactions. It's really been the killer app that the government's been trying to get to for the last 15, 20 years almost. And what 18F has said, we can build a better mousetrap, they say. And part of that is this idea of login.gov. So they put out an RFQ for what they call identity proofing and fraud detection services. Now, this RFQ outlined 29 must-haves and 12 nice-to-haves. This is all across six functional areas, including, again, identity proofing, fraud detection, validation, logging, and reporting. So the idea here, Jared, is which companies are out there that can provide these services, and not just provide the services back to the government, but provide it through what they call an API, an application programming interface. So basically a piece of software the government can just reach out into these commercial databases and pull the data back that they need. And the data, again, they need is stuff around name, social security number, address, date of birth, financial disclosure information. A lot of that is already publicly available, but a lot of it also is very sensitive. Again, your social security number may be held by your bank, that's held by a credit reporting firm, and you don't want the government or industry to have a cyber problem. So that's why it's identity proofing, it's fraud detection, it's all the important pieces to really say who's who.
And one of the criticisms, as I understand it, that you heard from a source was that this particular RFQ was hardwired to go to, or appeared to be hardwired to go to, at least a couple vendors. What does GSA say to that sort of criticism?
You're right. One of the big things I've heard from several vendors is it GSA put out this RFQ in September. They pulled it back. They re-put it out there. There was a lot of complaints about it because it seems to be pushed toward either Experian or Equifax, two companies that do this type of work already. And then the other criticism that's widely is around the types of, if you will, processes, the types of standards they're using, something called knowledge-based authentication, KBAs. Mm-hmm. And even NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, say KBAs are not strong enough for identity proofing. So, of course, I went to GSA and said, okay, well, how do you respond to these criticisms? Because what they're trying to do is not easy. It's been, again, fourth time that the government has not, it's three times before the government has not been successful. And GSA says, listen, number one, we believe in competition. We believe competition's at the hallmark of any procurement. And number one, we extended the due date at the request of vendors as a good sign of good faith that we do want the best competition available. Second, they said, this is the type of service that's either you do it or you don't. We're not asking industry to build something for us, develop software. So if you're already doing this service, there's only so many companies that do this service, and they're already doing it today, and they're very good at it. And that's why it's a short turnaround time of only 2 weeks. The other criticism about the KBAs is knowledge-based authentication. They understand the concerns around that. But as David Savenich says, the acting director of 18F and deputy commissioner of the Technology Transformation Service, who defended 18F's path, he said, listen, if this was the only type of authentication we were doing, then sure, I could understand the concerns. But we are doing multiple types of authentication for people, including multi-factor authentication and other things. So it's not just a one-and-done deal using this idea of knowledge-based authentication or KBAs.
And we should make clear that the problem that NIST has pointed out and the folks behind the NSTIC effort is that as long as you're using knowledge-based authentication, you're still relying on information that can be stolen by somebody else, whether that's, you know, these tend to be questions like what street did you grow up on, or what was your past address, or what's your mother's maiden name. So it begs the question, why are they relying on KBAs at all, given how far the identity management space has moved in the past several years?
It's hard to say why they're relying on KBAs. I think they feel like that's something that people are understand and are used to. And for a lot of lower level authentication needs, the KBAs actually are okay. For instance, if you just want to check in to see what benefits you may be able to apply for from USDA or from VA or from Commerce, and all you need is a username and a password, that is okay. You know, you're not really, there's no transaction going on. But as they get higher up to level three access, what they call, where they are asking PII type of information for your name, your social security number, etc., that's where maybe GSA 18F will say, we'll add a stronger set of authentication standards beyond KBAs or in addition to KBAs.
Got it. So as far as we know, where is 18F in this whole process of maybe finally getting this project off the ground?
So this is the second RFQ they released. Very quietly, they awarded about a $1.2 million contract to a development firm called Agilina. And basically what they're doing is they're collecting feedback on agency requirements in order to approve the identity management project. So that's one thing they've done. They made that award back in September, and they're going forward with that effort. The other thing 18F did was release an identity management playbook, some of the best practices out there to all together in one place so for agencies to follow. So we know that's happening as well. Otherwise, Savinich says that there's still a lot of things in progress, and he wasn't quite ready to start talking about them publicly yet, but he believes that GSA has learned from past experiences, including putting together a very robust engineering team and a technical team, both designers and product managers, as well as ensuring that you have the right people that are talking to the users and gathering user experience. And all this is going to be based on a cloud platform that he says is scalable and available to the entire United States. So they are trying to move forward and understand that the failures of the past, they don't repeat those same mistakes.
Only a couple minutes left before we have to run, Jason, but I want to hit on another item in your notebook this week, which is a possible thawing in the government industry divide in financial management shared services. What's going on there?
So this is interesting. You know, for a couple of years now, the Office of Management and Budget has been pushing this idea of agencies moving to federal shared service providers for financial management. And for years, you know, one of the discussions has been, well, what's industry's role? And OMB and others have said industry's role is to support the federal shared service providers, because industry's success over the past 15, 20 years has not been very good of helping agencies modernize their financial management systems. But at a recent AGA and ACT IX shared services summit, David Mader, the controller from the Office of Management and Budget, said, listen, we have a supply and demand problem. We have too much demand and not enough supply. So there's only three ways to fix this. One way would be to get new people in from the federal side. The second one would be to let the current providers, there's five of them, get them funding to expand their technology, their systems, their people. And the third option is the private sector. And, you know, David Mader basically didn't come out and say it, but if you look at what's happening in Congress with funding, new funding is not going to be there. He said they've had some conversations with other providers to potentially join in as a shared service provider on the federal side. But really, maybe the best option is the private sector to bring them back in. And that's a huge shift. Of course, Mader saying this now in October, and the election's coming up in just a couple of weeks, and the new administration will take over in January. So it's really the next administration's problem is what he's saying.
All right. Federal News Radio's Jason Miller. Thanks a lot, Jason.
My pleasure.